This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
We are back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We hope you're finding yourselves in good spirits, because tonight on the program, John and I will be your guides into the realm of the spirit.
Holy Spirit, Batman.
There are many different uses of the word spirit, because like so much that we cover on this show, it's one of those words that is like ubiquitous, it's all around us, but most of the time people are not thinking about the definition or where it comes from, the history and all the different kinds of meanings. John, have you ever seen a spirit?
A ghost, a spirit, a ghost, a felt one. Don't know that I've ever seen. Oh, well, maybe. It depends what you mean by spirit. I guess they're walking around everywhere, aren't they? If we all are imbued with a spirit, then spirits are all around us, not only in people but in plants and buildings and cultures and cities and countries and everywhere.
That's right, John. And if people could see the multitude of spirits that are all around us, some of us may go mad.
And maybe there are some people that can see them, because people see all kinds of things.
That's right.
Auras and such.
Yeah, and, yeah. So I suppose these things could be not so scary if people were used to seeing them or had a context in which to frame it to where there could be more of an understanding and thusly wouldn't be so fear-inducing.
Yes. So in order to make sense, some sense of this, perhaps we should have a look at some of the definitions, because there are lots of uses, as you said. It's actually a little bit confusing when you actually go to the interwebs. Now, let's look at Merriam-Webster, my favourite dictionary. They start off with a whole lot of synonyms of the spirit. And they list about 14 of them with a whole lot of subcategories. But I might go through a few of them. I actually jotted a few down, but there's a lot more here. Firstly, let's see. One, an animating or vital principle held to give life to physical organisms. So that's the idea of the spirit, of the body, mind and spirit type spirit that we hear about.
That we do.
The parts of us that make us what we are.
The invisible parts.
Yes, a supernatural being or essence, such as a soul, or sometimes a ghost, and sometimes a malevolent ghost.
Bad spirits.
Yeah, an evil spirit. Another one is temper or disposition. So people talk about having a certain spirit to your behavior or outlook, and often associated with a vigorous or animated.
That was a spirited rendition, meaning
in high spirits.
Yes.
Yeah. Another one is the immaterial, intelligent, or sentient part of a person.
So,
body, mind, and soul, once again.
Mm.
Another one is the activating or essential principle influencing a person, acted in a spirit of helpfulness, an inclination, impulse, or tendency of a specified kind, a mood. So I guess acting in the spirit of a mood.
Acting in the spirit of charity.
A special attitude or frame of mind. The money-making spirit. So basically just a state of mind or a focus or even an idea, isn't it? They're saying an idea can be a spirit. Well, ideas can be all kinds of things. They can be viruses, but also spirits.
Does this speak to the idea of egregores, John, as ideas as spiritual entities?
Indeed. As we covered in our ghost episode, an egregore is a manifestation of an entity that has no blood, no corporeal reality to it. It's immaterial, but exists nonetheless. Another one is a mental disposition characterized by a firmness or assertiveness. Their example is denied the charge with spirit. Once again, that just alludes to vigor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, here we branch off from the idea of ghosts and souls, and we come to the material world, a distillate, which actually is the product of fermentation. That'd be a liquid, which is either is or contains ethanol, and is distilled from. And that's an amazing thing because just about all plants, you know, grass, hay, just about everything can be distilled to give alcohol. And this is a process where a little organism produces the alcohol as a byproduct of its consumption of the sugars, which are in just about all things in various states, starches and sugars, to produce this ubiquitous substance we call alcohol, which has been known to us forever, I think, because it was known to the animal world before we found out about it. And it reminds me of, have you seen those videos, Riley, of the elephants and monkeys getting drunk from eating fermented fruits in trees?
No, I haven't, but that sounds like a riot.
Crazy. Well, and I also saw another documentary recently about birds over in Afghanistan that actually peck on opium poppies because they're everywhere in the fields of opium. And they get horribly addicted and go through miserable withdrawal and probably die in their thousands at the end of the opium season. So that's one I never thought of. But then if you extrapolate that, there must be all kinds of psychoactive substances that are ingested by not only humans deliberately, but animals either deliberately or accidentally, which affects their reality.
Perhaps affects the course of their evolution.
So it seems like getting out of it is a natural state of being that all creatures and critters indulge in. Crazy. It's a crazy world.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? 11, a prevailing tone or tendency, spirit of the age. So it's like a worldwide sort of spiritual possession. General intent or real meaning, the spirit of the law. So that's another diversion of the meaning, which is like alludes to the idea of abstraction, which actually means getting to the essence of something, to abstract something, as in abstract art. And the last one they've got here is enthusiastic loyalty, the school spirit. Once again, we're back to vigor again.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the school spirit. Or the spirit of America, or the spirit of St. Louis, or...
Yeah.
The school spirit. I can't remember what my school spirit was. I don't know if my school had a spirit.
Oh, they probably did.
Well, they must have had their little Latin slogan somewhere. I just don't remember it.
Spiritus. And, of course, there's the idea of something being spirited away, which implies a sort of covert
disappearance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another weird one. So it's used in a variety of ways. It seemed to have quite different meaning. There's diverse meanings.
Have you ever encountered, say, like a restaurant that's called the spirit of something like Spirit of India or the Spirit of Istanbul or something? Spirit of Sri Lanka.
Sure. Have you? You must have.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good name for a restaurant.
Yeah. There's the idea that you can find the spirit of a generation, you know, the spirit of a culture, spirit of the 60s. I'm sure there's lots of compilation albums called Spirit of the 60s. I'm imagining there'd be the Troggs and Manfred Mann and that kind of thing on there.
And, of course, probably one of the most famous spirits is the Spiritus Sanctus, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which we all associate with the Christian religion, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son and Holy Ghost. But in fact, if we go to the etymology online, we find that it's has Latin and Greek. Of course, Latin, Constantine put the Bible together. So obviously it has Latin affiliations, but in fact it goes back to the ancient Greeks. And so that idea of the Holy Spirit is a very old one indeed.
Even further than the church usage. Well, then,
and
there
the
you go.
The churches before the church. Other churches. Church of the Holy Spirit.
And, of course, there's the idea of spirit guides, which is this concept of communing with your better angels, with these kind of spiritual entities that are looking out for you, that have your best interests at heart.
Well, yeah, I like those kinds of spirits, the spirit guides, because they're usually helping you out.
They're,
they're not the evil
ones.
Yeah,
exactly, the benevolent kind as opposed to the malevolent.
And that makes me think of Castaneda, because he talked a lot about spirits and plants in particular, because in his stories he...
For those of you who don't know, Carlos Castaneda, the Peruvian anthropologist, author of many books, most famously The Teachings of Don Juan.
And Don Juan was a shaman.
That's right.
And this dude went and found him in Mexico and went back over a number of years. And these novels
came out in the 60s, the first one. Yeah, 1968.
They chronicle his interactions with this guy. And this guy took him on it was like an apprenticeship, really, and gave him all kinds of things, including Datura, which grows all around Sydney and you should stay well away from, and also other various forms of psychedelic substances to teach him lessons, basically. And a lot of those lessons included plant spirits.
Who beset the author with a myriad range of visions, some of which are quite intense and frightening.
Yeah, and some of these plant spirits were helpful and some of them were mischievous and some of them were downright scary with possibly evil intentions. But that's a good one if you want to read about spirits. And that also brings to mind something that I've seen recently, people talking about taking DMT, which is a popular drug that comes from various plants, ayahuasca, the ayahuasca experience, which has become very popular in the Western world just lately. for people going on a journey of self-discovery. It's mainly a visual hallucination, and people report seeing a very similar kind of entity on a DMT. Have you a DMT trip? Have you ever seen this entity, Riley?
Well, I've seen the serpent, the rainbow serpent, which apparently some people see. The idea is that it's meant to give you a ride into the underworld. But I didn't go with it because I was scared of it.
Uh-huh. Well, I've certainly experimented with mushrooms in my youth, and I definitely had that experience of being in the presence of the spirit of plants and trees, actually, were a big thing in my experience with those things. The trees would actually take on a totally different, what would you call
presence.
It? Presence. Yeah, a really different presence to what they are, you know.
Or how we perceive them normally.
Normally yeah. Perceived, yeah, mm-hmm. As just these vegetables basically growing in the ground. I actually have evolved quite a different idea of the plants. I believe that they're conscious. I believe that they're aware. And we don't normally think about them like that. But there's actually plenty of research to show that they're aware of our presence. They're aware of their surroundings, and they actually communicate with each other. And there's actually a rich web of connection underground with fungi and plant roots, and there's a lot of stuff going on underground with plant entities.
I'd believe it. John, on the topic of alcohol, I just remembered something I wanted to say. So, because we refer to alcohol as spirits, you know, hard spirits or white spirits, and I wonder whether there's a connection in the sense of when people become drunk, when people become inebriated, intoxicated, whether there is a sort of spiritual possession that
Absolutely.
Goes on with...
I mean, in a Castaneda type sense, you are possessed by the alcohol spirit. And I think there are different kinds of alcohol spirit, because alcohols are not all the same and their effects are not all the same. Scotch is different from tequila, which is different from beer. They all have, and any seasoned drinker will probably attest to the fact that all of these beverages give a different kind of outcome and a different effect on the body, not only mentally but also physically. Some people only drink beer, some people only drink hard liquor.
And so just think about that next time you get drunk, and maybe you won't want to write yourself off so completely.
Okay, so here's a quote from a gentleman named Albert Schweitzer, who is a German man of many talents, much celebrated. And it goes like this. In everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle the inner spirit. I like that.
That's a good one, John. As social creatures, it makes sense that one spirit could spark off inspiration in another.
Yeah, people need people. And spirits need spirits. We can't function in a vacuum. The old saying, the universe abhors a vacuum.
It's interesting to think that a place itself, a region or an area, could be imbued with a certain spirit. The idea that no matter how much it changes, there'll be things of the old way that remain imposed upon the present.
Yeah, it's a kind of haunting.
fits well with those people that believe that everything is happening at the same time. Time is a flat circle, a snake eating itself.
So, you have a poem for us.
That's right, and this is on that theme of the spirit of a place. This is by Rudyard Kipling. It's called The Way Through the Woods.
Let's have it.
They shunt the road through the woods 70 years ago. Weather and rain have undone it again, and now you would never know. There was once a road through the woods before they planted the trees. It is underneath the coppice and heath and the thin anemones. Only the keeper sees that where the ringdove broods and the badgers roll at ease. There was once a road through the woods. Yet if you enter the woods of a summer evening late, when the night air cools on the trout-ringed pools where the otter whistles his mate, they fear not men in the woods because they see so few. You will hear the beat of horses' feet and the swish of a skirt in the dew, steadily cantering through the misty solitudes as though they perfectly knew the old lost road through the woods. But there is no road through the woods. The end.
I like that. The spirit of anemones.
Yes, that piece of poetry, it speaks to the idea of, I suppose, a ghost manifesting as a auditory experience. These kind of echoes of the past still heard, although the road was closed long ago.
Yeah, well, I guess there's all kinds of ghosts, aren't there, and ways of experiencing them. And I guess the focus quite often is on our visual world, but there's all kinds of other... we have other senses that we experience our environment and the things around us. And, you know, when you asked me if I'd seen a ghost, I'm not sure that I have. An unworldly sort of entity, but I've certainly felt a presence in all kinds of situations. Sometimes it's a good feeling, but I've had experiences the opposite of that, where I've actually almost been paralyzed with a kind of fear, or what do they call it?
When sleep paralysis demons.
Yeah, that kind of thing, one of those demons that Tucker Carlson famously recently had an encounter with a demon when he was asleep, one of these paralysis demons that I've never had scratch marks on my back before, but maybe I've come close.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the good spirits, like the spirit guides, can play a role in keeping them at bay, you know?
The battle of the spirits.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot going on there. And if they interact with us, they most surely interact with each other.
I know we've talked about this on the show before, but I reckon cats can see spirits because...
who knows what they can see? That's yeah. The whole thing about vision.
Yeah. But cats often can be quite reactive to things that appear invisible to us.
Absolutely. I mean, you know... Animals have a huge range of, what am I trying to say? Animals can have very different perceptions of the world visually. For example, insects see ultraviolet light, which we don't really see at all. They see frequencies. I'm sure there are animals that can see low frequencies that we can see. There's probably animals that can see X-rays. And so imagine what the world looks like to them. Yeah. And what kind of insights do they have into what's going on with this extra sensory perception?
That's right.
And that kind of makes me think of the synesthesia type conditions that some people have, where they see sounds and hear colours.
Yeah, this speaks to, yeah, different kinds of like sensory experiences. And
perhaps people who see auras actually have just a different ability. Perhaps it's a cross-wiring, but perhaps it's an ability to see more than what most people do. Maybe, you know, for example, I know that all animals emit gases out of the pores of their skin. There's actually plumes. Plants do it as well. If you could see this outpouring of gases, maybe it would look like an aura. This is stuff called isoprene, which is a very basic hydrocarbon, and it comes out of our bodies all the time. And I'm sure depending on our mood and our state of mind or state of spirit, it might look quite different if you could perceive it visually.
Another idea I was thinking about that just came into my head, John, was the idea of artists and the muse, the idea of an artist sort of fishing in a sense in the ether and communing with other like spiritual entities, and that being a sort of source of creative inspiration. Now, there was an interview with Michael Jackson talking about how sometimes he'd just be sleeping or half asleep and then an idea for a song would pop into his head and he'd say he'd immediately get up and write it all down. And he said, if I don't write it down, they might give it to Prince instead of me.
And so I guess he's saying he's possessed by a spirit at the time, which is an interesting way of looking at inspiration, because it's always a mystery where creativity comes from.
Mm.
What is it? I mean, maybe it's the spirit world speaking to us.
Some of the people that talk about seeing auras and things like this also believe that people have what is called spirit attachments. So, for example, if someone has a particular addiction, then there's certain like spiritual attachments that can be associated with that, that can be seen. And another kind of idea of like a spiritual possession would be the spirit of war. I heard a quote earlier this year from Gordon White, who's an Australian online personality and magician, sorcerer, and he was saying that for something like a world war to work, the majority of people need to be possessed by the spirit of the war. That's the only way that it works. And so if, you know, in our lifetime we ever saw another world war, most of our friends and neighbors would probably be championing the cause, which is a crazy thought.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the way it has to work. It has to be a possession of the population.
But how can such an intense and encompassing spirit be exercised from the people? Well, I suppose that's a question for another day.
Because today we have come to the end of the show.
We hope you've enjoyed it, folks. And remember to commune with your good spirits.
Yes, may the spirit be with you, the Holy Ghost.
And may you meet the new day in good spirits.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.